So this evening we continue this summer series looking at some of these plus one verses. These are all verses which follow a more well-known verse, kind of like a plus one. So far we've looked at Joshua 24 verse 16. We've looked at Psalm 46 verse 2. And this morning we looked at 2 Chronicles 7 verse 15. Tonight, it's Romans 5, verse 2. And I've entitled this, The Grace in Which We Stand. Before we look at this verse, we must look at the context. Phil mentioned it this morning. He mentioned it last week, too. Context is key. We're not taking these verses in isolation. We're preaching on these verses in the context in which they're found. So with that in mind, in Romans 4, the chapter before, the Apostle Paul has been discussing the bold faith of Abraham. You know, Abraham wasn't justified through circumcision or works, but by faith. And his faith didn't weaken when he was told he'll be the father of many nations, despite recognizing that his body was as good as dead and Sarah was barren. In verse 20 of chapter 4, we see that no distrust made him waver in God's promises. To the contrary, Abraham grew stronger in his faith. He trusted in God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do exactly what God had promised. And because he fully trusted in God, his faith was counted as righteousness. Let me just share with you verses 20 through to 25 of chapter 4. You should be able to see them on the page there if you've got the text open. Listen carefully to these verses. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It would be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Folks, I just want us to pay real close attention there to those words, "but for ours also," there in verse 24. In 22, Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Well, guess what? You know, our faith in Jesus will be counted to us as righteousness. We become the offspring of Abraham and are recipients of God's promises. But how? Well, because we have faith. Faith in God who raised Jesus from the dead. And through our faith in Jesus, God is able to count us righteous. He delivered Jesus up for our trespasses. He was raised for our justification. And this is a really important statement. God's righteousness is revealed through Jesus. The promises made to Abraham have become a reality through Jesus. Justification has been achieved through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And as we move into Romans 5, Paul's going to reveal what else we have in Jesus. So turn with me to our passage tonight. We're really just going to be focusing on the first two verses. You can't really preach verse 2 without some reference and acknowledgement of verse 1. So let me just reread those two verses to you. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, there are many benefits to believing. But before we do that, just notice the repeated phrase. Verse 1, we have been justified by faith. Verse 2, we have obtained access by faith. Paul tells us the only way of salvation is to be justified by grace through faith. Because of what Jesus did, the righteousness of God is given to all who believe. Folks, let's just be clear once again. This righteousness isn't earned, it's received through trust. It's received by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we can have peace with God, which leads us to the first point and the first benefit of believing. We can have peace with God. Look there at verse 1, the first part. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what Paul is telling us here in verse 1. And it's a peace which flows through the Lord Jesus, because without Jesus, we've nothing. Without Jesus, we remain enemies of God. Without Jesus, we aren't on good terms with Him. Without Jesus, we're separated by our sins from God. You know, we mustn't lose sight of this truth. Without justification comes judgment. You know, through our faith in Jesus, God spares us from the judgment that we deserve. God's wrath is real. And it's been revealed against all who reject Him. Back in Romans 1, verse 18, it reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. All who suppress the truth will be judged. They'll be deemed unrighteous." But when we're justified by faith, we're no longer the target of God's wrath. You know, God, the righteous judge, is able to declare us innocent. You know, we've been spared. Why? How? Well, because we've accessed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sacrifice changed everything. He laid down His life for us all. Where there was once conflict between us and God, there is now peace. We're no longer at war with Him. We're no longer separated from God. We're no longer hostile to God, nor He to us. We're no longer enemies. One commentator said the following on this: to grasp how remarkable this justification is, we need to understand the gravity of what we've been rescued from. Without Jesus, the distance was vast. Now, by grace, we stand reconciled. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, peace reigns where wrath once loomed. Folks, you know, we have peace with God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess that's the first benefit of believing. But you know what? There are more benefits. And as well as having peace with God through faith in Jesus, we have access to God. We have obtained access to Him. Look there at the first part of verse 2. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith. Notice there's really another repeated phrase there. The verse begins through Him. First, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, we've obtained access by faith through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, everything hinges on Jesus. Jesus is the one who holds the key, which for me is really good because I have a terrible track record with keys. Countless times when I was growing up, I would return from school unable to gain access into our house. So I'd either have to make a trip to my grandparents down the road, or worse still, walk all the way to my father's school. Sadly, things didn't improve when I was older. I'd leave my keys everywhere. Numerous times I'd need to be rescued, otherwise I'd remained locked out. Just ask Ruth what I'm like, because we once spent hours in the pouring rain on the doorstep. And surprisingly, nobody answers their phone at around just before midnight. We were very wet. You know, and in fact, it was actually just this week I left for Liverpool to go and watch the Mighty Reds without a door key in my possession. I did manage to gain access after Ruth very kindly left me one hidden under the pot. So in my opinion, there are very few things worse than being locked out. Do you know what? Thankfully, the door to God isn't locked. There's no security code that needs to be cracked. The only thing needed to enter is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive the keys which Jesus offered. It's not earned by status or achievement. It's received by trusting in Jesus. You know, Jesus hands us the keys. Faith doesn't just admire them. It turns the lock. This access means we're no longer strangers with God, but his beloved children. Ephesians 2 verse 18 means, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And once we've gained access, we can approach the Father without fear. We don't need to be anxious or worried about our standing before God. Instead, our faith in Jesus gives us the confidence to stand in his grace, which leads to the third benefit this evening. We can stand in God's amazing grace. Look there at the second part of verse 2. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You know, after receiving access to the Father, we're able to stand in God's grace. Not only has God declared us justified by faith, he's drawn close to us. As well as having peace with God, we also enter a place where we can stand. You know, we can stand in God's amazing grace. And this is a place of undeserved privilege. What each of us really deserves because of our sin was eternal judgment from God. Yet what we've been given instead is God's amazing grace. Through faith in Jesus, we stand in that grace. That's what Paul is saying. Another commentator said the following on this: grace, God's undeserved favor towards us, is not only the way salvation comes to us, it is also a description of our present standing before God. It is not only the beginning principle of the Christian life, it is also the continuing principle of the Christian life. We stand translates a perfect tense, used in this sense of the present, with a thought of a continuing attitude. You know, this word stand here is really important because it evokes a real sense of stability. Now, just imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that you're standing on a frozen lake. And as you stand there, you're nervous. You're unsure if the ice will hold you. And carefully, you begin tiptoeing across the lake. And with every single step you take, you know, like you test it. Is it gonna hold me? As you step out, every step is taken in fear that the ice might just crack. But then, you know, someone calls you from across the lake. They approach you in the middle of the lake, confident. They have no fear. They're walking in total confidence. They're even dancing on the ice. They've no fear. Don't worry, they say. The ice is thick, they add. It will hold you, they state. Folks, grace isn't fragile. It's not like thin ice. It's solid and secure. And better still, it's able to hold the full weight and extent of our lives. We don't have to tiptoe through faith. We can stand firm in Christ. Previously, we couldn't stand before God because of our sins. But now, because of Jesus, we're able to stand in God's grace. We stand in fellowship with him. We stand forgiven of our sins. And when we attain this access into this grace, We don't sneak in with fear. No, we can really confidently stand in the grace of God because we have stability. You know, standing in God's grace means that we don't have to prove that we are worthy of God's love. The door of access is permanently open to the Father. You know, we're set free from our sins. Jesus settles the account. Folks, again, we're welcomed into this place of grace. Not because of anything we've done, but simply by trusting in Jesus. We can't earn God's grace. Did you hear me, boys? Did you hear that? We can't earn God's grace. That's a Mike Tinker song. That's why I pointed in that direction. It's not something we achieve through effort. It's more than just being forgiven. It's being invited into God's presence. And this gift from God goes way beyond peace. You know, it's a privilege to be with God. And because our standing is based on grace, we really can stand and have peace. We know that our access is a permanent possession. It can't be taken away. So we can rejoice. We can rejoice in hope of the glory of God, which is the final benefit this evening. Look there at the last part of verse 2. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, when we stand in God's amazing grace, our natural response should be one of praise. We should rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We celebrate in the hope we have. And when Paul uses the word hope here, it's important to understand the term. In this context, he's not talking about something that might happen. You know, when I was growing up, there were many things that I would hope for. I hoped I'd be a professional footballer. If you saw me play on Wednesday night, you'd have seen that was totally hopeless. I also hoped at one point that I might be a celebrity. And then on a smaller scale, I just hoped they might get a certain present on my birthday. This hope is wishful thinking. The hope Paul speaks of is not wishful thinking. It's rooted in the certainty of God's goodness and faithfulness. So we rejoice looking forward to the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. We can look forward with absolute certainty to a future filled with his glory. Romans 8:18 reinforces this idea. Let me share that verse with you. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This hope sustains us, making every day worthwhile and purposeful. Jesus has done what the law was never able to do. He's given us a real confidence that we belong to God. Now, the law could show us what was right, but it couldn't make us right. So we rejoice, not because we've achieved something, but because God has. It isn't about us, never been about us. It's about God's grace and the glory that he deserves. And Jesus made it possible for us. He made it possible for us to stand firm and welcomed in God's presence. So our joy isn't rooted in ourselves. It's rooted in him. Our worship is for him. God, through Jesus, has opened the way for us to live in God's amazing grace. You know, so as we draw to a close, what can we take from Romans 5, verses 1 and 2? Well, firstly, remember that we've been made right with God, not through anything that we've done, but through faith in Jesus. And when we remember this, it can help us to reshape how we see ourselves. Our worth isn't based on worldly standards or our performance. You know, we must embrace our identity as those made righteous through Christ. You know, we're accepted, we're loved, we're freed from guilt because of what Christ has done. Secondly, because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Folks, let's not rush past this truth. Peace with God is no small thing. You know, we were once his enemies, separated, hostile, deserving of judgment. Now that the wrath has been absorbed, the gap has been closed. You know, we're no longer under condemnation. Instead, we are under grace. No longer estranged, but embraced. No longer judged, but justified. This peace isn't a feeling. It's a fact. It's not based on our performance. It's been secured through the Lord Jesus, secured by his sacrifice. So in an anxious and uncertain world, Romans 5 verse 1 is a beacon of hope. Everyone, everywhere longs for acceptance, peace, reassurance. That can only be found in Jesus. So when Paul says we have peace with God, he's declaring a miracle made possible only through Jesus. And that's just the beginning. Because through Jesus, we don't just have peace, we have access. Thirdly, we're reminded we have full access to God anytime, anywhere. Through faith, we're welcomed into his presence. We're no longer separated. It means we can talk to him like a friend. We can lean on him for wisdom. We can welcome God into our decisions and share all our struggles, which we've done tonight, with him. It compels us to cultivate maybe a lifestyle of prayer and dependence on him. You know, so many of us know the frustrations of being locked out. You know, we feel it physically, emotionally, even spiritually. But the good news of the gospel is the door to God is not locked. Jesus holds the key, and through faith, he places it in our hands. We don't have to earn our way in. We don't need to prove ourselves worthy. We simply have to trust the one who's already made a way. That's Jesus. Like I said earlier, faith doesn't just admire the key, it turns the lock. And when we enter, we find ourselves in the Father's presence. No longer strangers, nor outsiders. We're welcomed, known, and are loved. Through the Lord Jesus, we've obtained access. And with that access comes confidence, not in ourselves, but in him. Having gained access, we stand in God's amazing grace. Standing in his grace means we're no longer walking on spiritual thin ice. It means our footing is secure, not in our strength, but in Christ's strength. It means we don't live in fear of falling through. We live in confidence, knowing the foundation beneath us is solid and eternal. We're not inching forward in fear, wondering if we'd be accepted. You know, we're anchored, secure, stable, and held fast by the mercy of God. Folks, we don't sneak in. We don't tiptoe in, which is a good job, really, because you'd hear me. We don't have to crawl in. No, we stand. We stand forgiven. We stand welcomed. We stand in fellowship with God. This grace isn't earned, it's received. It's not fragile, it's firm. It's not temporary, it's permanent. We don't just have peace with God, we have a place with him. Because of Jesus, we have a place to belong and a place to remain. The door to God's presence is open, and it stays open. So let's not live like we've been locked out. Let's live like we've been invited in. Let's live not as those trying to earn access, but as those who already belong. Let's draw near, not with fear, but with confidence. Let's stand, not in fear, but in faith. Not in guilt, but in grace. Fifthly, finally, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So as we stand in this grace, let's not take it for granted. Let's rejoice, not with like shallow optimism, but with deep, confident hope. A hope that looks beyond today's struggles and sees the coming glory. A hope that rests not in our performance, but in God's promises. Jesus has opened the way. Now we stand welcome, secured, and loved. Let our lives reflect that joy. Let our worship echo that confidence. And let our hearts be anchored in the certainty that, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. Amen.